Chapter 18. Euphoria. Euphoria is an unjustified optimism about the inevitability of good health. It is an unbalanced condition, blind to the dangers and indifferent to the forces which cause disease. It scoffs at that prudence which sane men exercise in defense of their health. It mocks those rules which are calculated to avoid sickness. Sensible precautions are regarded as fads and fancies. Its favorite sentence is, "There is nothing wrong with me." There is talk of people who live to be 90 and break all the rules. Worrying about health is said to be more likely to cause disease than cure it. The future is always bright. Conditions are always fortuitous. Safeguards are silly. Sometimes, and too often at the age of, say, 48, after a heavy meal and a hearty game of tennis, this man, mastered by euphoria, drops dead. Ponder the spiritual counterpart. It is an unjustified optimism about the inevitability of spiritual success. Unjustified because it continually violates the conditions which make success possible. It wants to hear nothing of prudence, vigilance, and watchfulness. Those who warn of worldly dangers are said to suffer from spiritual bellyache. It is blind to the effects of those forces which balanced man view with respect and awe. It flirts with temptation in the conviction that the devil has been overrated and the chances of victory undersold. It sees no danger, senses no deprivation, is hardened to failure by synthetic confidence. The channels of strength upon which other men depend are neglected and almost despised. It is indifferent to other men's experiences without a tremor. Talks glibly of the kingdom of God and will not understand that rebels are excluded. Takes refuge in the love of God and will not be awed by his severity. Believes the livery of discipleship is protection against judgment. Euphoria is not assurance based on faith provoked by reverence for the promises of God. Euphoria is false confidence engendered by a misunderstanding of God's real nature and his real purpose. It is not the condition of a man who knows he is acting foolishly, but through procrastination puts off the reformation. That is one condition, but it is not euphoria. It is the condition of a man who believes that he is so right and so safe that he has no need of reformation. Consequently, he has no fear of sin, no foreboding about temptation, and no sense of evil. Life becomes dangerously superficial and spiritually emasculated. Biblical examples. There are some biblical examples of euphoria. Luke 12, verse 19, the parable of the rich farmer. All was well. The house was palatial. The feeding was sumptuous. The bank balance was soaring. Life was wonderful. There was nothing to be concerned about. Rest and take thine ease. There were other things, but they were invisible to this man. Overweight, out of breath, no exercise. His wife nagged him about his indifference to the rules, but he laughed her into silence in front of the servants. It was a lovely funeral, they said, just as he would have liked, but it came a bit sooner than he really wanted. Matthew 7, verse 26, the parable of the two builders. The sand was so smooth and so easy to work. Some interfering busybody said something about building rules, but he was sent off with a short answer. Why make things harder than they need to be? He was ever so happy. He had finished the work about the middle of August. He was able to sit in the garden and hear the brooks babbling by. In December, the babbling brook broke its banks. The breeze became a tempest. The euphoria turned to terror. The house became a tomb. He was buried without any funeral arrangements. Revelation 3, verse 1. The Ecclesia at Sardis. The city was a place of immorality, loose living, and luxury loving. It was a byword among the other cities. Life was easy, flabby, and decadent. There was an ecclesia of God in Sardis, and it was at peace. There was no heresy, no persecution, no Judaism, no problems. Everything was first rate. Although the surroundings were fraught with danger, everybody at Sardis, well, nearly everybody, was well pleased with the spiritual condition of the meeting. They were at peace and at rest. It was peace by stagnation, and the rest of death. They had a great name. It was said they were lively and good. They did not know the real truth about themselves, because the dead know not anything. That is the curse of euphoria, and it ought greatly to be feared. The 10th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians tells us about the people of God who were right in the heart of true religion and enjoying all the advantages of their special relationship with God. Verse 5 begins with an interesting word, howbeit. It prepares us for the account of their failure, and in verse 12 the Apostle Paul reveals the root cause. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Is there in the whole of the Bible a better sentence to describe the nature of euphoria? Fear and confidence. Plainly, euphoria is the extreme opposite of depression, and yet both conditions have a common identity. They are both eccentric, away from center. It is right for believers to be optimistic about overcoming the forces of evil. It is right to have assurance about the power of God's word and prayer and fellowship in the fight against sin. It is utterly wrong to be optimistic when the sources of strength are neglected. It is utterly foolish to be assured when the assurance is rooted in the wrong things. So the middle and right position is a fear of the evil forces ranged against us, but without despair or depression, and with a hopeful confidence in those things which God has provided to enable those who are willing to hold fast at the center of their faith. About euphoria, there is one fleck of light. Usually, the euphoric spirit discovers the truth sooner or later through some bitter experience or some awful failure, which unveils the real condition. Thereafter, the soul will come to itself. False confidence is shattered by a cold realization of the facts. Boasting is seen to be bunkum. Complacency is crestfallen. The trumpet is muted. Standing jauntily gives way to heeding carefully. In the heeding are all those blessed forces which redress and repair the soul.